Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening. Folks, thank you very, very much for listening. The date today is the 24th of January, year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome to yet another episode of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I am, of course, joined by my co-host, the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. Now, James, here's something that I've wanted to say to you for a very long time, and I never have, okay?
You have a lot of things you've wanted to say to me for a very long time, and we talk pretty regularly. So, like, I actually enjoy this, yeah.
Do you understand how lucky you are to have such a great name for, like, the job that you have? James Edwards III of The Athletic flows so well.
Yeah, so that's actually funny that you bring that up, because I hate my name. No disrespect to my dad or my grandpa, but it's there's two other of me. And that's not even counting, sure. James Edwards is just a common name. Like, of course, I get called, people ask me all the time if I'm the son of the Pistons player, James Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to like a resume or like an email or like a byline, like James L. Edwards III looks very official. It's like Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah. Actually,
you're going to look at that name. So I appreciate them for that. The foresight, of many generations to understand that it'll all culminate to the third being a sports writer and it looks good.
If you weren't a beat writer, what would you have done?
That is a great question.
Yeah, not a basketball question, but hey, let's do it.
I actually, like, if all fails and things just go south, I would like to teach.
Ooh, okay. You want to be like a gym teacher or something?
No. I'd like to be like a professor and teach like a creative writing class.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Be a high school or high school teacher or a professor. And if I did high school, obviously I'd like to coach.
Yeah.
But I like teaching. I like helping kids. I think I'd be a good psychologist as well. I think I'm good at helping and reading people.
Yeah. People will like often ask me for, they'll come to me for like advice about like anything. Usually about like, I don't know, like how to gain a following. And I'm like, first of all, I don't really know. But anytime that I can give them advice, I always come away from it thinking, like, I hope that was some good advice. I don't know that I'm really the person to, like, teach a course on it or something. But the one thing that I've learned from, like, actually getting to kind of work with you for, like, the last week and a half, and I've said this a few times, is, like, I am starting to realize how actually genuinely creative you are. And it's, like, super fun. And you sort of, like, guiding us in certain ways has been really interesting. So I do agree that you would make to be a great teacher.
Well, I appreciate that. And I want to return the compliment by saying that you're creative as well. It's a different style. You have great ideas. You do what you do as good, if not better, than anyone. And
well,
that is why the cardigan was seeking the bun when it came to podcast time.
You know what the worst part about our show's name is how badly I want to cut my hair. And I can't now.
I know. Dude, what are you doing?
I can't do it. We got to wait a long time before I can do that.
The thing is, though, if you cut it, no one would know.
They wouldn't. Well, I mean, my face
unless
is on
we
the
start
internet.
Doing video clips. Yeah, that's
which
true.
You bring up visual podcasting. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get to basketball here very shortly. Right before we started recording, the all fleeced out James right now, his sleeve was rolled up just a tad, and I told him, you're very lucky this isn't a visual podcast because you would be getting a lot of, oh my gosh, there's the tattoos. James doesn't like that people point out his tattoos all the time.
I am so weird about it. When people found out that I had a sleeve, they found out because I went to the Pistons' march downtown Detroit. And the team got a photo of me and Luke talking.
Super
and I had
cold
a short
photo, by the way. That photo was great.
It is kind of a fire photo.
Yeah.
like, we both got the mask on. I got the short sleeve with the sleeve. Yeah. Like, I do look kind of fire now that you say that. I might have to make that a profile pic, low-key. I'm just joking. I don't even know if many people in the organization knew that until that day because – I just like to hide it. Like you just never in my professional life, like you just never know. It might rub. You just never know who you come across and you just want to look as professional as possible. Not that there's anything wrong with it. Like, again, be yourself, kids. But when I'm usually around the team, it's cold. Yeah. It's October to April. So like,
yeah, these Pistons aren't playing into June. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're done in March.
So like maybe, and then even last summer league, I don't think it was done. We didn't have summer league in 2020. In 2019, I don't think I had the sleeve then. I think I got it like after summer league. So it had always, I wear short sleeves in Vegas, but like it's not out and about.
Yeah.
It wasn't out yet. So yeah, but the comments and the Piston, the readership and the followers, like that was like what they like took away from these five photos the Pistons posted. They were like stunned. And I'm like, I guess people don't know because I always have it covered up. But it was hilarious to me how much people gravitated to that.
Yeah, that's me with age. I hate when people, like, I get really weird about age. So yesterday, like, it happens probably like once a month, I'll mention something about how old I am and people, oh my gosh, you're only 22. It makes me feel really weird and really uncomfortable. I wish people weren't weird about age.
You will when you're 28. Trust me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to some basketball.
Hold on really quick. I just want you to know that there's going to be a moment in the next 20 minutes where my girlfriend is going to drop off Coney dogs in my office door.
Ooh.
And I'm going to eat them while we pod.
Sick flex.
Super sick flex there. It's just lunch.
I realized last night I didn't eat for over 24 hours.
That's not
so
good.
So, yes, that's a flex. Yeah. Well, like, it wasn't on purpose. I just hadn't done it.
It just happens. It happens.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some basketball. James, it is the return of everybody's favorite segment. Okay?
Yeah.
It is our Monday segment, the newest edition of, drumroll please, questions I'm tired of answering with James Edwards III of The Athletic. What has been the burning question in the last 7 days that you are tired of?
This might have to be the trunk of the podcast, and we'll branch off accordingly. But with Christian Wood coming into town, actually he didn't come into town, but the Rockets coming into town and Christian Wood
I'm already annoyed. I'm already annoyed.
It's a variation of a couple different questions, which all culminate to the same displeasure from many of the fan base. I don't even know where to go with this. So there's the people that are still mad about the young guys not playing 20, 30 minutes. There's people mad that Blake's even playing. There's people mad that Blake is playing above 20 minutes. There's people upset that they didn't re-sign Christian Wood. So, I mean, it was a bunch of things this week. And I get some of it. I don't want to be insensitive to some of it. Like, should Svi play more? Probably. He probably should.
Yeah.
But then this is where I want to go with that. And I mentioned it in my mailbag that's coming out on Monday on The Athletic. Like, people act like if Svi doesn't play, he doesn't develop. Right? Like, that's been the over. Like, and we're just using Svi as the example, but you could insert young player here, correct?
Yeah.
Did Svi look good to you last night or Saturday night? Best game of the year for him, probably?
Yeah. So,
did he play Friday? No, he did not play against
Houston. Rockets game. Full transparency, I actually can't comment on the Rockets game. I accidentally took a nap for three quarters. Okay. So, I actually.
You didn't miss anything. Well, I'll tell
you.
I know
I didn't miss anything. Yeah, go
ahead. Svi got in on the last possession. He logged maybe 2 seconds of game action.
Sure.
Did that kill his confidence for Saturday?
No.
He had the best game of his season on Saturday. Like, there's different ways to develop. There's different ways to go about it. Clearly, to me, what it says is that Svi is professional. He's learning to stay ready. He's learning that when his moment comes, he needs to take advantage. Like, when Svi was in the rotation, he wasn't playing good.
Yeah.
Now that Svi didn't play Friday and plays a big role on Saturday, he played really well. So why is Casey not credited for that? Like, I get you might not want – maybe you can go and say, well, maybe that just means Svi should be playing all the time. That's fair, whatever. But when Svi was getting somewhat regular minutes, he wasn't playing how he played Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, like, there's different – at the end of the day, and I think this has been my overarching theme these last few months, there's different ways to develop. Clearly, not playing on Friday did not kill his confidence as a young player.
So – I wanted to mention this today just to give some people some insight. I think, James, this is something that you understand. Maybe it's a little bit harder to this year since you're not present at the actual facility watching the practices. But in years past, I'm sure that you can agree that this is a thing that you see all the time that fans don't know about. So I don't want to name names, and I don't want to name the team because I don't want to burn anybody that told me this. It was probably about a year ago. I was speaking to someone who worked very closely with a team.
Milwaukee.
I'm joking. You can't start guessing because again, I'll tell you off the air who it was and what the team was. But, okay. They were like every day with the team, and I asked them, "Hey, like fans are really upset that this player isn't playing. Do you have any idea why that is? Because even I'm a little bit confused by it." And they said, "People don't understand how bad this player has been in practice recently, and they were like, he ran me through a set of drills that they were trying to do, and this player just wasn't executing them in the way that they wanted him to. And that led to the coach being like, okay, well, then I'm not now going to reward you with playing time until you tweak this and fix it up. Off the court, well, I guess practice is still on the court, but away from the games, there's still a lot that players have to do and fulfill in order to actually earn those minutes, right? You don't only earn in-game minutes through the actual games themselves. I think it's important for people to understand that there's a lot that you don't know about what goes into guys getting or not getting minutes. And that's not to say that Sekou's bad in practice or that Svi is bad in practice, but it's a factor that you have to consider that you very clearly do not know the whole story.
No, that's a great point. Man, like, and there's ways to develop outside of playing 20 minutes in a basketball game. The Pistons have a program where guys go through workouts before practice. They have practice. They do workouts after practice. They come back at night for practices. Like, development happens 24/7 around the clock. It is not just getting game time. And I understand game time is the end-all, be-all, but these guys are young. What keeps getting lost. And I've done my best to get the message across as the middleman between the fans and the organization. People associate rebuild tanking with playing young guys all the time and letting them develop that way. I'm not talking about all of them, but there's a good amount that think that the Pistons, because they're playing veterans, are not trying to lose. They are trying to be competitive, what they've been doing all year, stay in games, build a culture to show what it takes to fight and go and grow and what it takes to play hard at this level while still trying to lose. And let's just get this out of the way now. The Blake stuff. People are acting like Casey is going rogue and like they think from how my comments are and what people are saying, it's like to me, they think Troy in the front office want Casey to play all the young guys. That he thinks that they think that is what he wants to do, and Casey's just going rogue and playing Blake, playing Wayne.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee you, if Troy in the front office did not want Blake to play significant minutes, he would not play significant minutes.
Right.
If Troy only wanted young guys to play, he would not sign Wayne Ellington. He would not go get Jeremy Grant. He would tell Blake Griffin to stay at home. He would have traded Derrick Rose. He would not have traded for DeLon Wright. Like, this is a collaboration. Do they maybe want to see the young guys a little bit more? Maybe it's possible. But it's clear from their vision and what they've said publicly from day one that they want to put a product out there that is somewhat entertaining day to day. Check. They've been in every game, 48 minutes. If you're a diehard fan, you're tuning in till the end because this team has been in every single ball game except one or two.
Yeah.
But they're still having 1.5 feet on the path toward the future because they're the worst team in basketball and they can't close these games. It's, again, an artful rebuild. But people are acting like Casey is going rogue and just undermining his bosses because he is trying to win. So are the players. Sadiq Bey, you can throw him out there. He's trying to win. Somebody said this to me, and I answered it in my mailbag, and this will be the last kind of thing I reference in my mailbag. This person literally said to me, and this is somebody who has a Pistons avatar, the faces from the players and coaches did not look like a team that was trying to tank.
Jesus, man.
in sports, in the history of sports, no player or coach, unless cheating, has ever played to try to lose. And it will never happen. Sam Hinkie
did, but other than him, yes. You're,
no. Player or coach.
Sure. Okay, you're right then, yes.
No player or coach. It is on the front office to put a product out that no matter what combination the coach throws out there, it cannot succeed. That's rebuilding. Sure. That's tanking. That is what the Pistons are doing.
Yeah,
I promise you, Sadiq will develop. He didn't. He hasn't been playing very much lately. He played really good on Saturday night.
Yeah,
Sekou hasn't been playing much lately. He played really good on Saturday night. These guys' confidence are not killed because they're missing. They're not fixtures in the rotation all the time.
Yeah, I think a few things. So one, this team. Somebody had said this yesterday. I thought they worded it really well. That this Pistons team is built to win, but the little caveat in there is that it's purposefully built to be not very good at it.
Yes.
Right? So it's like a very good way to sort of disguise what the ultimate plan here is.
Yes.
On the Sekou thing, I have a take about him that I have in the chamber, and I don't know when will be the appropriate time to unleash it. So because he played well last night, I'll just say that he played well last night, but... And he genuinely did. And James, what made him play well? He was finding the open spaces on the floor.
Guys were getting the ball.
Yep. And you know what my favorite thing? So Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin weren't playing last night. But you know what I really enjoy about watching Derrick and Sekou minutes? Is that if they're in transition, Sekou is the first person that Derrick looks for every single time. And obviously, again, Derrick wasn't playing last night, so we didn't get to see that.
Right.
But that's a thing that happens every single time. Genuinely, whenever Derrick... gets out on the run with the ball, he's always looking for Sekou, and he always tries to make something happen for him, and I really appreciate that.
And I would argue the opposite in the half court, but I agree with you in transition.
Yeah, 100%. But I think you could argue the opposite for pretty much every player on the floor in regard to Sekou in the half court. Like, just it still feels – it's definitely better than it was last year, right, when he was relegated off into the corner, and that was it, and people just wouldn't look for him there. This year, he's at least moving around a lot more. And last night, you know, watching him, he even took like a pretty deep three that he actually got to fall, which was really encouraging to see. You know, like you said, Sadiq played well. There's a little rumor floating around, and I'm curious to get the beat writer's opinion on this. Are you ready for this? Do you have some tinfoil nearby? You might want to make a hat out of it. I got a little bit of a conspiracy here.
I do not. Okay. But I think there's some in the kitchen.
So there's a rumor floating around.
Okay.
Isaiah Stewart rips off a portion of Dwight Howard's shorts.
Okay? Yeah.
Similar to the Peter Parker getting bitten by a radioactive spider, this was sort of to act as a transfer of power, where now Isaiah Stewart will inherit the Defensive Player of the Year powers that Dwight Howard once possessed. See, you thought I was going to say something serious. I'm not.
Yeah.
But that was great. No, but on the real, though.
That was funny.
Watching him play against Embiid and Dwight Howard and DeMarcus Cousins the night before sort of just reaffirmed the belief that we all have that if there's anybody on this team who's not going to back down from anybody, it's definitely Isaiah Stewart. So that's really encouraging to see. And I think just on the development thing, like, this is a genuine question for you because I don't know really if it's true. And I know we're only, what, 15 games, 16 games into the season, I think. But
And that's another thing. Since you said that, just really quick, we are 15 games into the season. People are acting like it's not even a third of the way through. There is a very real possibility that the young guys are playing big minutes halfway through the year, even less than that. Like, people chill. It is early in the season. It is
–
it is – and you look at it right now, and I think – he's never come out and said this publicly because Casey won't. But this is the hardest. The Pistons are in the middle of the hardest schedule in the league, if not one of them. Why throw your young guys into the wolves? Why not use your veterans to keep? If you say that the Pistons are having close games against some of the best teams in the league, like, that's fine because the schedule eases up. So if you're going to use your veterans at all, use them now while this stretch is. Is ridiculous and absurd. And then as the schedule lightens up, then you feed the guys more minutes. That's what could kill confidence.
I think people are going to challenge you on that just because of what happened last night, where Blake and Derek, the two quote-unquote primary vets outside of, like, Jeremy, who was... Jeremy Grant finally played a terrible game for the Pistons. Yeah. And it was like, oh, that's too bad. And somebody was... a lot of people were mad. But one specific person was like, oh, Jeremy was terrible tonight. Like, see, this is what we do. And I'm like, first of all, the last 13 and a half games that he's played have been remarkable, right? Like, he's literally breaking franchise records. He's leading the league in 20-point games going into last night's game. God forbid the guy doesn't play well this year, all 72, flawlessly. It's going to be fine. Like, he can't be that guy every single night. You know, I think people might challenge you, though, a little bit just because last night, like I said, Blake and Derek aren't playing. Jeremy's bad. Like, we got carried by Wayne, but, like, the other vets weren't very good. Like, Plumlee fouled out for the fourth consecutive game. And it felt like we were kind of carried by this, like, youth movement. Here's the problem with Isaiah, with the Plumlee Stewart thing that we have going on, is if Mason's in foul trouble and he's got to come out of the game, you're replacing him for a guy who's going to get into foul trouble just as fast.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, then you have Jahlil Okafor, and, like, that's, I guess, stability, if nothing else, if not, like, a little bit of a minus. I don't remember what I was going to say earlier, but here's something. I don't know if you noticed this last night.
To your thing, really quick, just in case we go on a tangent. I mean, the Pistons, yeah, the young guys, that's a fair argument. Like, yeah, the Pistons played well without the vets, but they also, like, finally shot well from three. So, like, where was that this V shooting when the vets were playing, when he was going 1-for-8? Where was Sadiq has not been shooting well. He shot well. Wayne shot well. Like, the Pistons won the game at the three-point line.
Yeah. Well, they would have won. Well, I get what you mean.
And you can make the case that they, with the vets playing, they would have won a few more games if they shot well from three. And again, part of that, them not shooting well from three, is because Blake has not shot the ball well from three. So I get both sides for sure. But right. I would also, again, go back to my first point. Clearly, their confidence isn't shot by not being in the rotation 24/7.
Sure. Last night, Sabin Lee settled into that game really quick. Like, it was the most comfortable I think I expected to see him at all this year. And although he didn't do a ton, right? Like, he looked confident with the basketball. And that was, I guess, encouraging to see. That's kind of it. That's just my point. I was just really proud of Sabin Lee last night. He didn't try to, you know, end anyone's career at the rim like he did against the Bucks.
Josh Jackson tried.
Yeah.
Who he tried to slant. Was it Embiid?
He tried to
yam on someone.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember who it was, though. The Sabin Lee thing, that was at home, wasn't it? The dunk that he tried to throw down?
No, that was in Milwaukee.
Was it in Milwaukee? Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember.
Because they had the away Monday in Milwaukee, day off Tuesday, Wednesday in Milwaukee.
Right.
I'm fairly sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Last night, it was fun. Like, and there were a lot of people, the same thing was thrown around a lot last night. I'm not throwing shade at anyone, but it was, this team is more fun without Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin. And I don't like to be comparative.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not going to argue with those people because I can totally see why people would feel that way. To me, it just feels... I just don't want to make it seem like I'm slandering Blake or like I'm slighting Derek for being on this team.
Right.
I think for a lot of people, the reason it's so fun is because, like you've been saying today, it's ultimately what people have wanted all year anyways, mm-hmm. is the guys getting minutes that they actually want to get minutes. The thing that really hurts, though, is you have Derek Rose sitting out and you're like, man, this is supposed to be Killian's game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Derek's not playing, this is supposed to be, like Laz said this last week, this is supposed to be when we see Killian for 30 minutes. And it just sucks that we're robbed of that this year. It's annoying.
No, and again, I totally get it that the young guys playing is way more fun. They play at a faster pace. I get it. But I think people are misdirecting their frustration at the coach. The coach is always going to play who is available and who is the best chance to help him win. It is, on the front office to make sure that any combination that the coach puts out there does not lead to a victory. And it's – Blake is going – if he's healthy, he is going to play. Clearly, Troy has no issue with that. I'm telling you, it would have, if he had an issue with Blake playing, Blake would not – there would be a conversation. Something would have happened by now. whether it's for to see if he can get trade value, whether it's just respect. People don't, fans do not look at the business side of things. If the Pistons just came in and just sat Blake and he's healthy, that does not look good to other players. It does not look, it's not etiquette. It's unfortunate that the situation of Blake's desires at this point in his career do not match, obviously, where the Pistons are headed. But it's a situation that the previous regime put them in, and they have to navigate it until it's resolved. And Blake, if he's healthy, is going to play. Should he play 30-plus minutes? You can argue he probably shouldn't. But I'm just saying, clearly, the organization as a whole does not have an issue with that happening. It's nobody's said anything. Nobody, there hasn't been a change. I would imagine, again, they talk, and if Troy and company had an issue with that, that would be either resolved or we would see some type of change. Now, can I ask you a question?
So I have, really quick, I have two questions. Yeah actually, go ahead. Go ahead, ask yours. Okay, fine.
I want to ask you. No, I want to ask you. I want to ask you so you can get talking while I grab this food from the door. Christian Wood, the Houston came back in town. I wrote a story with Kelly Iko about why Christian left, how he ended up, how the negotiations went with Detroit. You can check that on The Athletic, how he ended up in Houston. One thing I did not, I was surprised to see from Pistons fans, again, not all of them, some, people would have rather had them try to keep Christian and still get Jeremy Grant. What are you, how would you have felt about that? And would you, are you fine with the outcome that they chose to do?
So I'm fine with it just because that's the way that it is. At the end of the day, like I refuse to be mad about something that's out of my control. Like that's why, and I've said this a few times, like, Svi only played 12 minutes tonight. Like that's kind of weird, but you know what? I'm going to go on with my day. I just, it's difficult for me personally to get, up in arms over something that's ultimately not my decision. But, on the, if, you know, if there's a way where we could have kept Christian Wood while also bringing in Jeremy Grant, yes, honestly, I would have rather have had that, mainly because, I think, you know, what you've said a few times, just like to me personally, and I think both also on this show, is that bringing in Jeremy Grant was also sort of a, you know, bringing in that defensive identity and sort of, I think that the phrasing that you used was setting the tone, right? You know, going after a name in free agency that maybe we thought we couldn't get, and then all of a sudden, hey, like our general manager actually has connections with this guy, so we're able to pull it off. Sure, like it's an absolute win, and it so far has turned out to be. But if there's also a world where you can keep a guy who is emerging as a diamond in the rough, if not something more, somebody who fits Detroit's timeline, I don't care how bad he is defensively or how much he struggled. I think he was getting better. As long as he was defending power forwards, I think Christian Wood was fine. I think he was serviceable. I think he was stable. Offensively, you already know what you're getting. If this guy's going to be a perennial 23-10, it like he is with Houston right now, I imagine, because I think it was over the last since the Andre trade, so February 6th onto the hiatus, Christian Wood was averaging like 25-10, right? I like to imagine that that probably would have continued into this season. I think he would have been a perfect role man for Killian. I think he would have been a perfect lob man. I think he would have been a perfect pick and pop option for Killian. It's frustrating to me because we knew what we had with him, and that's not to say that the front office didn't. I think that they did. It was just a matter of like, they didn't think it made sense to keep him in the fold. But yeah, if it came down to Grant and Plumlee or Wood and Grant, I would rather have the latter. Because I think Christian Wood still keeps you in that level of bad but competitive, just the same way that Mason Plumlee does.
See, I think that's where we disagree. I think Christian.
It's about time that we disagree on something.
Yeah, and this is my point. And I'm not. I don't know if the front office in Detroit calculated it this way. It seems like it. Obviously, just from the what's happened. This team with Christian Wood is at least 500.
You think he's that much of a plus?
This team, this crappy team is only seven to ten possessions away from being 500. Sure. If we're being honest,
yeah, you're not wrong.
Christian Wood and Jeremy Grant, what we know about Jeremy now and what we know about Christian, those two together might make Detroit a playoff team. I think it definitely makes them a play-in team. I definitely don't think it gets them a top three pick.
I agree with that. Like, that part I agree with you on.
And that's where I guess it depends on where your fandom lies. Not you, but anybody.
Sure.
To me, as much as I like Christian Wood as a player, is having him and Jeremy Grant and maybe making the playoffs, again, it would people would probably like it more if Killian was healthy and it was Killian, Christian, and Jeremy leading the team to the playoffs, fine. To me, that team's ceiling is still not very high. And two, maybe Detroit fans don't get it because they, and again, not all Detroit fans, they do not get it because this organization has never had, like, drafted a transcendent star, like, at least since Grant Hill. If picking between Jeremy and Christian, and the front office clearly wanted Jeremy, they fit, he's a perimeter-oriented guy who's developing into a two-way guy, like, that's what you want in today's NBA. Sure. If it came down to Jeremy and Christian because they want to go get one of these transcendent stars in the draft, that is the way to go. Like, to me, so not only do you have a guy, Christian, this was people's argument to me. Well, I know Christian Wood is 25 and 10. I don't know what the rookies are, the whoever we draft is going to be. Totally fair. But I still just think the ceiling with Grant, Wood, and Killian, which also means no Sadiq if you keep Christian. I'm sorry, means no Isaiah. No Isaiah. That team is, it's not a revolving door because this team, the team would be younger and it'd be better to watch, but you're still not going to do anything meaningful with that core. You're just not. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Sure. I don't think a Killian, Jeremy, Christian wins you a playoff series. Now, if you tell me I have to wait 3 years and a Cade Cunningham, Jeremy Grant, another first round pick, a developed Sadiq Bey, and a developed Killian Hayes gets me somewhere, that I'll sign up for. Because I think Cade, the Evan Mobleys, the Kamingas, the Suggs, like, I think they have potential to be, like, great players. And you not only are you getting a young guy who has the potential to be a great player, you're getting a young guy who's on rookie deals.
Sure.
Like, so to me, people saying I'd rather have Wood and maybe push for the playoffs with this team than have a top three pick, like, that is insane to me. This is one of the most stacked drafts in a long time. Yeah. The Pistons are in line to have a number one pick. I personally think if they tried to bring in Christian Wood to pair with Jeremy Grant, that this team would be too good to have a actual chance at landing one of those top guys and still not be good enough to win a playoff series.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know that we stumble our way into the playoffs, but I definitely think that we play ourselves out of the Cade Cunningham sweepstakes, which, right there, full stop. I don't want it. I wasn't necessarily on a ledge when you asked this question, but if I was, consider myself talked off. Thank you, James, for doing that.
And that wasn't my plan, because again, if I'm not going to tell anybody how to be a fan, if you want your team to always try to go for the playoffs and try to win, that's your right, and that's how sports should be. I'm just saying this organization needs talent. They need top-end, top-tier talent. And it looks like, from everybody you talk to, from when you watch these guys, I know you can't see Kuminga because he's on the G League Ignite team, and they haven't shown that, but, like, we're just talking about Cade right now. That has a chance to be a top player in this league, and the Pistons desperately need somebody like that. That's just me. I would... Again, would watching Jeremy, Christian, and Killian, if healthy and developed, whatever, going for the playoffs, would that be fun? People would enjoy it because those guys play a fun style. I still think having Cade Cunningham, it trumps the first scenario, and that's just me. The potential to get Cade Cunningham.
Sure.
Trumps that.
It's important that you added that little stipulation at the end. I did 9 tankathon simulations yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And the reason that I did 9 was because it wasn't until that final 9th one that the Pistons actually got number one. I just want to the lowest we dropped, I think, was 6. So
really,
I just want to throw that out for people that, like, I have a good theory. Listen, people are concerned about us not getting the number one overall pick. Well, we are NBA fans. Conspiracies happen all the time in the league, especially those revolving around the number one overall pick. I've got a little conspiracy about the Pistons getting the number one overall pick this year. I think it's entirely within the realm of possibility that it comes to fruition. But I have a question for you. Yes. Not really, no. Hope. I mean, maybe it's just the Zoom audio. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's picking up on, like, the, what are you recording in QuickTime? It'll be fine. Yeah. I'll just talk really loud whenever you're chewing. So I had two questions. We kind of sped past one of them, so I'm just going to ask this one. I haven't said this to you yet. I may have mentioned it on Motown Rundown. God rest its soul.
R.I.P.
Yeah, rest in peace, Motown Rundown. But I've been meaning to say this to you for, like, 2 months now. Another thing
for, like,
that
3 years, yeah.
This is another thing that I've been meaning to say to you. You know what? Going into the season, I still feel very good because we're still in that position. But going into the season, you know why I was excited for the Pistons to play this year? It was because it felt like it was the first time in a few years that there was no, oh my gosh, well, we could trade for Russell Westbrook. Well, we could go get Bradley Beal. Well, maybe it could be Mike Conley. There was no trade that people were looking for. There was no player that was so sought after by Pistons fans that they were firing up the trade machine every single day, right?
Like, right, it was the opposite. Days, they wanted their players traded.
Well, I guess that's true.
Right, so, but that actually says where the – yeah, no, it goes with your point, yeah.
Right. And it actually plays perfectly into my question. Casey mentioned this, I think, yesterday – as of this recording, that the Pistons are actually going to use Blake as they're going to try him out at center a little bit more moving forward. Am I thinking too hard about it, or is that a way for them to be like, look at guys, hey, other 29 teams, look, he can play center? Or am I just thinking too
much? I don't know it to be fact, but I wouldn't be surprised. Again, they are clearly auditioning him.
Yeah.
Like, it is, they're not, gosh. All right.
Clearly, James is trying to think, he's trying to think if he should say this or not, I think.
No, I'm just trying to say it nicely.
Oh, okay.
Clearly, when you hear Dwayne Casey talk and you hear Troy Weaver talk, they say that this year is about the future. It is about... It's not winning. Of course, they want to win the day sometimes. It's important to win games. Like, it's important to for guys to be rewarded for their hard work. So, like, if they win one game every four, every five, that's fine. Like, that's still going to have them on pace to be a bottom team. But I forgot what I was going to say. I think him playing Blake as much is more so. That might be – so I said earlier, if Troy doesn't want Blake to play, I'm sure that conversation happens and we see less of Blake. To me, the it appears – I don't know this. It appears the conversation is play Blake, just maybe we can trade him. It hasn't worked out so far, but it's like, what do we have to lose?
Yeah.
And everyone's going to say, well, you're going to lose a year of Sekou's development. Sekou is 20 years old.
20.
He started playing basketball 7 years ago.
He's a child.
When Blake's deal is up, Sekou will be 21. Sekou will still be on his rookie deal. They will be able to get him for cheap after his rookie deal.
Sekou
will be fine.
That's assuming Blake doesn't opt out this year, which he could.
Or they don't trade him at the deadline next year. Yeah.
Right. And this is the same thing, James. You and I have said this a bunch of times. What happens? Best case scenario, they move Blake, they move Derek at the deadline. I don't think both will happen. I'd be kind of surprised if either happened. But what happens then?
I think Derek happens.
I think that one's far more within the realm of possibility, 100%. But it wouldn't
surprise
me. Like,
I think there was a reason to get DeLon. Like, I don't think it was just to have another veteran around.
Oh, sure. That could be.
So you have somebody to fill those backup minutes.
Sure. Some would argue you could have kept Bruce, but
But again, we were told that Bruce at point guard was going to be done.
Right. Right. I'm kidding. But if that happens, right, but especially if Blake has moved, you're going to get all the Sekou minutes that you could possibly want. And that actually brings us – go ahead.
You're going to get a lot of Sekou minutes when it's the end of the year. And you remember when – it always seems like when teams are out of it and the Pistons are going to be out of it at some point after the deadline, they make up some type of injury for their guy to sit out the whole year so he can be healthy going into the offseason. There's going to be a lot of Blake missed games. Why are they going to trot Blake out there after the deadline for 30 minutes a game? People, just chill. It's been 15 games. If Blake is playing 30 to 40 minutes after the deadline, I will. What do you want me to do? Pick something crazy.
Stand by. We'll wait till the end of the episode. I'll try to think of something.
Okay. And I'm not talking like the day after the deadline, like 2 weeks after the deadline.
Yeah. If within the next, like, if within 14 days after the deadline, he's averaging like 35 minutes a game. Yeah. Okay. This actually brings us to our fan question, our listener question, because I don't want to say fan, our listener question of the week. This is from Nick Cranmer. Hopefully I'm pronouncing the last name correctly. Apologies if I'm not. Great first name, by the way. If Detroit wants to use Jeremy Grant as a power forward, what does that mean for Sekou? I know he is in a bad situation right now, but even when Griffin is gone, is Sekou's peak just as the backup power forward? James has the floor.
Great question. I don't think that they want that to be the case. I think that, again, people can fight back at this, but, like, would they like him to turn into a three? I think so. I don't think they feel comfortable with him defending threes yet at this point. So I think in the short term, as he develops and he's still young, I think they're going to play him off the bench and probably as a backup four. And then also, you just never know what happens with Jeremy. Again, Jeremy's only here 3 years. When Jeremy Grant's deal is up, Sekou will be 23. Like, you just be patient, people. Like, I know it's instant gratification. It's like, let me post this selfie and see how many likes I can get. That's what type of world we're in.
Yeah.
Sekou will be 23 years old when Jeremy Grant's deal is up. He could very well be the starting power forward in 3 years if the Grant thing doesn't work out or if he wants to go somewhere else. I think they're going to bring him around slowly because they can. He's super young. I think they'd like to see if he could play the three just to add some length and he'd develop as a shooter. I think that could help them. It'd be interesting to have him paired next to Jeremy, but I think for right now they envision him as a four, and I agree. I think that's his best position.
Yeah. I do have another question. Now, just kind of going back a little bit to the trade stuff. Again, thank you, Nick, for that question. Great question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Hopefully, James gave you the answer you were looking for, or clarity, I guess. So, if you look at the trade deadline, like we said, there's not a lot of sort of activity that we're really anticipating. Again, outside of maybe Derrick Rose, I see a lot of people are already sort of trying to trade Mason, or they're trying to trade Jeremy. I think Mason, had he been playing well, actually would have been a possibility. Now I don't really think that it is. But is there anybody, like, is Wayne really the only other player who you could really see actually getting moved?
Aside from Derek?
Aside from Derek. Because Wayne's only on a one-year deal, correct?
Yeah, and I mean, the age difference between him and Reggie Bullock is a few years at the time of Reggie's trade.
Man, you love this comparison.
But I mean, look at it.
Reggie, no, you're not wrong.
Reggie was shooting 46% from three or 43% from three when he got traded at the deadline for a second round pick and Svi.
Sure.
I mean, teams are always looking for two things: guard scoring and shooting as they make the playoff push. That always seems to be obviously some teams are looking for bigs. Like, you look at the Clippers last year, but for the most part, pretty consistently, teams will sniff around for shooting and an added guard score. So, I mean, if you tell me Wayne gets to the deadline shooting 42% or above and the Pistons can get a second round pick for him, I don't think that surprises me. I wouldn't put money on it, but it wouldn't surprise me. I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities for, like, a Svi to get traded or, far-fetched, but maybe Sekou. I don't think so, but you never know.
You know, I don't know if you recall.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Would you trade Sekou if it meant getting off Blake's deal? If Blake told you he's opting in, would you trade Sekou or Sfi along with Blake to get that out of the way?
I have two things to say to that. The first one is that this is playing into the theory that a lot of Pistons fans have right now, that Sekou is going to get moved and that he'll be a sweetener in a Blake Griffin trade. Which, by the way, I know I mentioned that about Kevin Porter Jr. In an Andre Drummond trade. Listen, we recorded that episode like 6 hours before the news came out, so I was wrong about that. But
and I have a conspiracy regarding Sekou based on comments Dwayne made last night, but I'll let you finish.
So that plays into that theory, and it, you know what? And it's funny because I was going to ask you to talk me down from that ledge because I kind of understand it. But no, I wouldn't, because people seem to think that Blake's contract is such a massive detriment to this team moving forward, and shockingly, it's not. Would that extra money, would that extra cap actually be valuable to this team? I reckon probably. But here's the thing. This free agency class isn't that great either. It's like, I think, slightly better than it was this past offseason, but you know, Detroit's not exactly going after anybody anyways. They're just going to kind of get some throw-in names that they can get to pretty much mirror what they did this season. So it's like, what are we really
needed for? I don't expect them to be major players like they were this year, next year.
Exactly. So that's why it's like, well, if we have to pay him the money for another year, it's like kind of whatever, right? I wouldn't. I do think it's worth mentioning, James, when you were on an episode of Motown Rundown with my brother and I, we asked you to give us – yes – rest in peace. We asked you to give us a hot take, like a scorching prediction.
Oh, yeah. I actually remember this. I don't remember season. Much. I remember this, though.
I actually forgot about it until just now. And you predicted very boldly that Sekou was going to get traded. So I just want to throw that out there. So go ahead.
Say you guys also asked me to make a hot take on the spot.
We kind of boxed you in. I'm not going to lie. We kind of boxed you in.
Casey last night, all he needs on Sekou, all he needs is the opportunity and chance. He took advantage of it. I'm happy for him. The future is going to be bright for him. To me, that just read like somebody come get him.
Okay.
And again, this is me speculating. I want to make that very clear. And I don't believe it. It just crossed my mind. I think he's genuine. I think he likes Sekou. I also just think all he needs is the opportunity and chance. And before that, he said he plays behind Jeremy. He plays behind Blake, which of course we know. And people are mad about that. The only way to fix that is not playing Blake. And again, that is not going to happen right now. Playing less minutes, it's just not going to happen 15 games in. Jeremy at the four, that's his best position. You're going to play him there when you can. But just say all he needs is the opportunity and chance to me, read like somebody that's going to give him an opportunity and chance, you can come get him if you want. But that's me just speculating. It crossed my mind for a half a second.
Yes, aggregates. James, for the fourth time, that's speculative. He's not saying anything.
Yeah.
I'd be irate. I would contemplate not rooting for this franchise anymore. I think it would be pretty foolish to wait a year. You draft a 19-year-old, and then after a year, you completely flip your roster, and you leave Sekou, you leave Sfi, you leave Blake, you leave Derek. Then you clog the minutes at both of Sekou's positions, so he can't breathe and he can't actually get on the floor. And then you just kind of say, all right, this was fun, good experiment, and we're gone. At some point, this, well, he's not Troy Weaver's guy, isn't cute to me anymore.
Yeah. And I don't think they do this, to be fair. Like, I don't think them trading away a 20-year-old is what they have in mind.
Yeah, I 100%. This isn't even towards you. This is just towards the concept of it.
Yeah. Or at least not to just get off a contract. If somebody said, I'll give you the 15th pick for Sekou, then you have that discussion.
Oh, I agree with that. Especially in this draft, to me, that's not a discussion.
I doubt that trade would ever happen. But I'm just saying there are trades that I would do for Sekou. Attaching him to get off Blake, who has a year and a half left, maybe only half a year left on his deal, is not one I would do.
Well, even then, you know why maybe I wouldn't? Why I'd be a little bit weary if someone in this upcoming draft was like, Sekou for 14. You know why I wouldn't do it? Because that means they value Sekou where we probably should, right? They see in him what, like, that he's valuable as valuable as the 14th pick.
You're speaking as a scarred Pistons fan when you say that. And you're keeping in mind of previous decision makers. I would imagine until Troy does otherwise, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows that whoever he can get at 14 or 15 would be better than Sekou. You're saying that based on what previous guys have done.
Sure. And for those who, if there are any lost, like James is talking about the Chris Middletons and the Dinwiddies of the world,
yeah.
Who, you know, the Pistons just seemingly give up on and then they go on to bigger and better things. I actually think that's a good point. I do think you're a little bit right. But I just mean also, I think genuinely, rationally, I'm a little bit concerned if, you know, if I'm right. thrown on a team. Let's say San Antonio's picking at 14, which they're going to be much higher than that. But let's say San Antonio's picking at 14 and they call and they say, we want Sekou. You can just have our pick. I'm going to sit here and think like, wait a minute, what do you see in him? Should we be valuing him higher? Maybe it's just maybe Detroit's just like he's not going to be in the cards for us for a few years to come. And maybe this guy who we could draft here could be like day one a better fit. Maybe he's a little bit older and a little bit more mature. And he's just a better, I guess, basketball player. But it's an interesting conversation, but it would still bother me that after two seasons of this kid, we never got to find out what he was because he never got to play. Now, it's a different conversation if, you know, Blake does get moved at the deadline and Sekou does ball out for the last half of the season. And then teams are, you know, calling about him. Like, that's kind of one thing. And I don't know. There's a lot that goes into it, but the overall thing is like I'd be pissed.
So you would consider it if somebody offered a first round pick for Sekou. No,
yeah, if they
attach Sekou to move Blake.
Yeah, because that's dumb.
I agree
to me,
with both of those.
You don't.
Yes.
You don't need. Yeah, you don't need to trade Blake. Period. You don't need to do it.
But that's the issue is that people think you do.
Right.
Because they want Sekou to play.
And I agree with that. Like that.
Yeah, he should play, but there's also there's a way you go about it, and it's just it's easier said than done from your couch. Like it's tough to you can't just trash a player that's healthy with that's a potential Hall of Famer. Like you just can't not right now. You just can't do it right now. You just it's not worth it. It's not this. Sekou is 20. He has a long time left in this league. Again, when Blake's contract is up, assuming he stays, Sekou will be 21, 22. That is very young.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we might run a little bit long here. I didn't even see what time it was until I just checked a second ago. We got about 10 minutes left.
I think this James, is the best pod.
Probably. It's probably close to it.
And I'm going
to
tweet it as such.
All righty, James. It is story time with James, everybody's favorite segment. I think I said that about questions I'm tired of answering.
There's one player I really want you to pick that you haven't picked yet that I thought you would already pick.
I'm going to go with Langston.
Langston. Okay.
Oh, there's got to be one in there. With how much you guys like sneakers, there's got to be one in there.
Yeah.
Remember, it doesn't have to be funny. It can just be kind of like a cool thing that happened. Like maybe.
I keep waiting for you to say Luke because I have a funny one with Luke. And I'm like,
you can switch it to Luke.
I don't want to. Okay, I don't want to switch it because you picked. It's your all the right. game is you
Langston.
Pick. What is a funny Langston story? I mean, there's just good stories. I don't know if there's funny ones. All right, so I guess this one is pretty good. It just sums up like how much of a sneakerhead Langston is. So last year in Portland, the Nike headquarters is in Portland.
Yeah.
So. The team gets to go, but this is something fans don't know. So when teams go to Portland, they all get to go to the Nike store, and I think there's a discount or whatever for the players.
Is it like the employee store?
It's the employee store. Yep. Yeah. It's an outlet. It's an employee store, a lot of shoes and everything.
Yep.
But you can't go, like Derrick Rose can't go because he's Adidas.
He's Adidas, yeah.
Langston, his first 2 years in Detroit, couldn't go because he was signed with Q4. That startup sneaker company he joined.
Yeah.
So last year he was the deal with Q4 I think was done or about to be done. I think it was done because he was in the store. And so like after a practice in Portland, like the team goes and like we just go too. Like the media goes just because we know that the team's going. Like it's just easier to go at that time and whatever do our shopping too. So Langston's in there. Just box. On top of box, on top of box, on top of box. And like, kudos to him. Like, he just had a son and he has a wife, so like, he got shoes for them too.
Yeah.
But man's had like two carts. Yeah. Up just kick. And this is, again, an NBA player who made $21 million in Detroit, has all the shoes and get all the shoes he wants, but he was at the Nike store just loading up. Yeah. And it was just like, it would be funny, like I'd be walking through an aisle and I'd have to like scoot out of his way because he had two carts.
Yeah,
like that one sticks out. Is there another good Langston story?
I like
just
that
the nicest
one.
Guy. Is it? You like that one? All right.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Just the nicest guy, man. Him and Ish Smith, two of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet in your life. And I think I would love. You know what? This is going to be. I don't wish this upon anybody, but I would like to see Langston in a fight in the NBA. I think he could win it. Like he comes across as a nice guy, but I'm telling you, I think there's like some. There's something there that if you pressed a button, I think Langston could turn it up.
You could say something like I don't really know Langston as a, you know, as a person. I could say that Ish. No, I don't think Ish could fight anybody. I don't think Ish would.
I don't think Langston would be afraid. I think he's got a little dog in him.
I could see it. Again, I can't really add much to it because you know him a lot better than I do. I can say about Luke. I think Luke could take a few guys in the league. I don't want to name who I think he could take. I'll tell you off the air, but I think he could take some guys.
Should we make should we celebrate our 1 week anniversary and do two story times with James?
Yeah, sure. You want to do Luke as your other one?
Let's do Luke.
Okay, go for it.
So there's many stories, but one I can share. So my dad lives in Denver. He's lived there for a few years now. And apparently he knows some guy whose last name is Kennard.
Okay.
That told him he's Luke's cousin. So me, after my dad tells me he like works or goes to the gym with Luke's cousin, yeah. I go up to Luke before Detroit is in Denver. Like, I think we might even be in Portland and I'm talking to Luke because he was on that trip, even though he was supposed to come back at Denver. He was on that trip. Like, it was close to Luke coming back last year.
He was supposed to come back in the Toronto game, I think, was when
right.
he said he
but
was supposed to come back.
I think there was a belief that he was going to come back on that West Coast trip, and so he traveled.
Oh, gotcha.
He just never played.
Gotcha.
So I go up to Luke. I'm like, hey, like, you got some family coming to Denver, I heard. He's like, huh? I'm like, don't you have cousins in Denver? He's like, not to my knowledge. I'm like, my dad told me that he works out with your cousin. He's like, well, what's his name? I don't remember the gentleman's name. I was like, something Kennard. He's like, I don't know. Maybe my dad knows. Like, my dad has family all over. He's like, I'll ask my dad. So next day comes. We're in Denver. I'm like, so did you find out about this cousin? He's like, yeah, my dad has no idea who you're talking about. So I tell my dad. And I'm like, yo, like, Luke told me he doesn't have any family in Denver. He's like, this guy told me he's his cousin. Like, I know the guy. Like, I'll text him. He might be his neighbor. Yeah. I don't know who the guy is. So I need to find out what happened, but apparently this guy lied about being Luke's cousin and was like, I don't know if he was trying to get tickets or what it was,
yeah.
But like Luke had no recollection of having family in Denver. His dad didn't know who this guy was. The guy never came to the game. I think he told my dad he was going to the game. And then I asked my dad, I was like, did that dude ever show up? He's like, no, he didn't. But because he had the last name, he tried to like pull one of those, like, yeah, that's my cousin.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was bullshitting the whole time.
Is that something that happens with you? Being on the beat, like, do people ask you for tickets?
What?
Like do people, when they find out that you're a beat writer, do they ask you for tickets?
There's people that think that, like, I work for the Pistons, so yes, I've gotten asked
right.
for tickets a lot. Yeah. I'm like, sorry, bro, I don't work for the Pistons.
I reckon that's got to be the most annoying bit is when people are like, hey, man, like, can I?
It doesn't happen as much as it used to when I started, but it was pretty annoying early on because it's like, one, it's like as a journalist, like you don't want people to think you work for the team because that means like you write fluff stuff and like you can't be down the middle. And it's like, I don't work for the team. So like, no, I cannot get you tickets. Sorry.
Yeah. Those are some great stories. Those were great. You'll have to tell me about some of them that other people aren't allowed to hear about.
Yeah, we'll talk off the air.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because I still have to tell you who the person that I talked to was and who the player that they were talking about was. Oh, and then I got to tell you who I think Luke could beat in a fight.
Alrighty. So the Bun and Cardigan Show After Dark coming soon to Apple and Spotify and Google Podcasts.
Yeah, that's right. We should be available on Google Podcasts, if not starting now. We should be very shortly. James did upload to there. Had a few people asked us about it. A few people DM'd me about it. We should be on there soon. We sincerely appreciate all the support that you guys have been throwing our way. The best is yet to come. This week's beat was created, of course, by James Edwards III. It is his episode. So hope you guys enjoy it. I actually gasped when I heard it.
You can't sign off yet without giving the people
the albums. We haven't done the albums. I knew I was forgetting something. Alrighty, I forgot. We have to each name one album that people should go listen to. I'll go first. I'm gonna pull from my top albums of 2020. Came in at number 6. It is a record called Zeros by Declan McKenna. Another album that James would not like. It is, if you like David Bowie, if you like tracks that are like 30 years old, if you like really intense, snares and kicks and really like sort of groovy tracks with lyrics that you don't quite understand because they're so intricate and weird, but you love them and they resonate in some way that you can't really explain. Did I say who the record was by? It's by Declan McKenna.
Are you uncomfortable by how I'm sitting?
I so badly wish people could see how you're sitting. No, I don't. I didn't even notice it. Okay. You're fine. So badly wish I could see it.
Screenshot this, and this will be the photo that we tweet out with the story.
Hold on. Okay, that was really bad podcasting, me just being silent and taking a picture. Okay, James, what's your record?
No.
We've gone really off the rails these last 10 minutes.
I love it. It's a great podcast. So we're entering Black History Month.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Mos Def, Black on Both Sides, from 1999. Okay. It is, people always like to credit Kanye, Drake, for the fusion of singing and rapping, when guys like Fonte from Lil Brother, Andre 3000, Speakerbox, Love Below, Mos Def was doing it before them, and guys before them. But Mos Def, Black on Both Sides, to me, is a perfect fusion of rap and like hip hop R&B. This is the album that there's no skippables. It bangs. It's smooth. Like it's a sunny day, windows down. I hate saying it's a vibe, but it's phenomenal, from the beats to Mos Def gets busy on the mic. Like Mos Def, Black on Both Sides is my choice as we approach Black History Month.
All right. That's a great pick.
And I'm acting like we're not going to podcast before Black History Month. Like I probably should have like held on to this for like February.
That's what we could do is for Black History Month. We'll just do, that's what we'll do. We'll just do like black created albums. That's what we'll just do. That'll be our theme for the month.
I think that would be great to do. Let's do that. And I just use one of mine right now like an idiot. So it's still a great album, classic album. Go check it out. I listened to a few songs of the one you picked last week.
Oh, Punisher.
I'm sorry, on Friday or whenever we pod.
The one that I said you'd hate.
I could see why you like it. It's not for me, like you said, but I could see why you like it. No. Like, I think it's well done.
I think which, by the way, here's why I'm mad. We're going to sign off here in a minute. Like I said, these last 10, 15 minutes have gone completely just off the rails. But our first episode drops, and everyone's like, yo, that outro track, like, that bangs. And then second episode drops. We use my track at the end.
Track banged. You said that.
That's it. Well, I did, but in a few of the live threads, also some people said it about the intro too. So I'm disappointed.
The intro
that
bang.
James and I, I'm disappointed that James and I are the only ones hyping each other up for these outro tracks.
I liked your beat last week, dude. I told you immediately, yeah, like Miami Vice. I felt like Night at the Roxbury. Yeah. I wanted to put on a purple suit and go to a club.
So this one that you're about to hear is created by James. Once again, we sincerely appreciate all the support that you guys have been
yes,
giving us.
Thank you so much.
It's been really fun. James and I have been really anxious to record all three episodes so far.
I've been looking. Like I said, I told him before we started, I look forward to podcasting, and he just had a look like, "That's great."
It was because I was in the middle of editing something. That's why I wasn't very responsive to it. Oh my god, James! You had a take last night that I almost fought you for. By the way, I don't want to. We're not going to make this episode.
Let's do 3 minutes on Stafford. Come on, I know that's what it was. Was it that take?
No. But right. I have a lot of things to say to you about that.
All right, good. Let's not. But Stafford is the best quarterback in Lions history. Fact. Also fact.
Yes. Don't say the other part. Don't say the other part.
It's not a hard accomplishment.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. If you made it this far, genuinely thank you very, very much.
I have an analogy for you that I can't say on the pod because it might offend people. So sign us up.
I'm going to get so mad at you. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars and subscribe. We will catch you guys in the next one. Out to get even for what? Out to get even for what? Out to get even for what? My last girl put me through. Out to get even for what? Out to get even for what? Out to get even.